Studies show that women and children who come from impoverished backgrounds are more susceptible to domestic violence. Can you explain the relationship between the two?
Okay, so first of all, when we talk about domestic violence, the traditional thought is, and you mentioned one of them, of course, is physical violence, but also emotional, blackmail or emotional violence, sexual violence, of course. It also is economic control or power over the woman. So when we talk about domestic violence, it's more than just the physical aspect of it, which you alluded to. Another important aspect just to keep in mind, and I'll answer your question in a moment, is that when we talk about domestic violence, generally we think of male-female relationships, but of course it's same-sex relationships as well, something which is, you know, sometimes accidentally overlooked. So it encompasses, you know, all relationships. When you, in my policing experience and now as a criminologist, when you think about the relationship between poverty and domestic violence, probably the clearest way to think about it is that second and third, even sometimes fourth generation people who are unemployed do not have the financial access for offenders or victims to be able to help them address the problem. So if you've got someone who, an offender who is second or third generation unemployed, they've grown up with that particular normative behaviour, you know, by their father or their father figure, then they're going to see that as quite normal. The poverty aspect of it is that the women feel powerless, and they are, because they are generally reliant upon the male as the breadwinner for their survival. So the poverty of the woman being economically dependent upon the husband makes it a lot more difficult for the woman to have to leave. And it's always the woman, I shouldn't say always, it's primarily the woman that has to leave the relationship while the man stays in the house.
Yeah.
If that is the case, then the women have to try and find a refuge or they're homeless. So they're really in a horrendous position to try and address that the poverty and the consequences of that domestic violence. The male perpetrator, because they're generally unemployed, not always, or low socioeconomic, they don't have the necessary upbringing or education, and I mean education as in schooling, or social awareness to really understand that the heart of the issue is how to manage their anger.
Yeah.
Now, you and I, and probably your listeners, if we had a relationship problem, we could probably afford to go to a counsellor. We could afford to go to Relationships Australia. But these individuals who live below the poverty line, and not even necessarily below the poverty line, but who are battlers, don't have enough self-awareness and do not have the finance to be able to access the services that, you know, for the majority of us, we can. So if they can't access the service, how can they bring to their consciousness how to address that domestic violence in that situation? You see media campaigns about don't hit women, I'm a man, and things like that. And that's all well and good, but it doesn't, in my view, get to the fundamental problem of a man in a house with a woman, domestic violence. How does that man access services within their impoverished lifestyle to be able to rectify his behaviour? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. And I think also something that particularly interested me about that when you mentioned, you know, same-sex couples and other relationship dynamics, do you think that a broadening understanding of what qualifies a abusive relationship is important for continuing to resolve these issues and making sure that everyone has access to the financial and social institutions to escape these situations?
Oh, absolutely, Felix. Absolutely. And if you look at those who generally, we're talking about the low socioeconomic. For the male offenders, their real first contact or access for someone to help them address their violence is once they're in the criminal justice system. So, and I would have done that. Well, no, I have done this. Went around, you go and arrest the offender, bring them, take them before the court. And the fact that, you know, I've arrested them and put them before the court, that means they're automatically in the criminal justice system. Then, depending on their history of violence, they will then get access, by force, access to services by corrections or probation and parole or community service orders. But by that stage, it's almost too late. Because it's a perpetuating motion. What they should have had, and it's easy for us to sit here and say it because most of us would have the finances to be able to do it, what they should have done or what would be ideal would be to give them the access to the services beforehand. But because they live in a impoverished lifestyle, they can't access it. They don't have access to it.
Yeah.
If they wanted to, you know, what do they do? Do they forego, you know, putting bread on the table for their children to access services?
Mm.
Or do they, or probably not even think about it at all? Another thing that I found interesting, I did work part-time for probation and parole when I was in the police, talking to offenders on community service orders about domestic violence and a whole range of matters. And what I found fascinating was that when you would talk to offenders already in probation and parole doing community service, is that when they're in that environment and they're sober, they understand the consequences of their actions. But of course, you know, with alcohol, particularly with ice or any other type of, you know, powdered drug or chemical drug, all rationality goes out the window. So, you know, you can say, yes, they're in an impoverished environment and they may spend their money on drugs, not, you know, making judgments, but it doesn't help the situation.
Yeah, so...
help them. Sorry.
I was going to say, you mentioned obviously there's a lot of situations, drug abuse, financial situations, social situations that lead to cycles of abuse. But do current laws adequately protect victims, particularly women and children, from these situations in any way?
Oh, what about that tragic situation last night down
exactly.
in Melbourne? Look, I don't think the law will ever be able to protect women. It will to a point, but stopping short of arresting the offender and putting them behind bars, how can, you know, society do it? How can society prevent domestic violence?
Yeah.
By that stage, it's too late.
Mm.
And we see it time and time again, and the hue and cry, and understandably so, about these, you know, these repetitive poor victims. You think, how can it be that a person, and in this case we'll take the example yesterday in Melbourne, of an individual who appears to be quite rational, quite, you know, well-balanced, reasonable individual, behind closed doors, there's domestic violence. How can you, A, predict it? And when you do come across it, how do you address it? It is such a complex problem, and, you know, it's bewildering at times.
Especially with a high-profile case like that, it's, you know, I don't think anyone would necessarily have guessed that someone who, you know, on the outside has a fortunate life situation could be in such an abusive situation, you know, until something drastic like that happens, and it's very difficult to predict and do anything about, as you say.
Yes, sure. And again, taking with a grain of salt what we see on the TV, that their family or his family or the wife's family, I'm not sure which, tried to intervene and have been trying for some time. But at the end of the day, if the offender doesn't want to do anything about it, how can you control the behaviour of another person? And it's not only that, and you make a good point, Felix, it's not only people in impoverished environments, it's people that do have access to money. And I say this also with a grain of salt, because I remember a couple of years ago, Nigella Lawson's partner was caught abusing her on social media. And even more recently, that young boy who was playing Fortnite when his pregnant wife told him to come to dinner. You know, it's not only the impoverished, but it's across society. And it's hard to police the privacy of individuals behind closed doors.
Absolutely. Well, Vincent, that's all the time we have this morning. Thank you so much for speaking to us about such a significant and relevant issue.
My pleasure, Felix. Anytime. Have a great day.